But the living entity in the material world, they're embracing Maya. Again, it's as it describes here, the word used is there is Anusayita lies down next to. And in the purport, it is also translated, in the translation, that the living entity, he embraces Maya. So this is interesting as well, because in this prison of the material energy, there's no need for bars and you know, strong walls and barbed wire. Because the bars which prevent the living entity escaping the material world is our own desire to be here. Sometimes we see that a devotee's feeling that Maya is holding on to them. But actually it's we who are holding on to Maya. We're holding on to Maya, we're hanging on and saying, oh, let me go, let me go. It's us who are actually holding on to the material energy. And when we embrace Maya, we actually take forms created by Maya, created by the material energy, and thus resembling material forms and taking on material qualities. So that is the position of the living entity in the material world. Opposed to that, some people, of course, throughout the world, they actually think that the Supreme Lord, well, there's no difference, you know, when we refer to spirit soul, they think that spirit soul is all the same. If we talk about Krishna, if we talk about Rama, if we talk about God, if we talk about Paramatma, Bhagavan, Brahman, Atma, they think that it is all the same. It is a spiritual entity who has become entrapped in the material energy. But the Vedas very strongly declare that that's not a fact, that actually there is the tiny, infinitesimal spirit souls. They are certainly entrapped and captured by the material energy. But the Supreme Lord, who is also spiritual by nature, he is not entrapped in the material energy, but when the Lord appears here, he does not check in his spiritual assets at the door. Just like, when someone goes to prison, say they are bound by the laws of the prison, they check in their assets, and they're not allowed to enjoy any of those facilities, and they're very, very much regulated and restricted in their activities. But those who are not prisoners, but actually either working for the prison system, or they may be high officials visiting the prison system, they don't have to take off, strip down and get hosed down and have their hair shaved off. It's not like the governor goes to the prison and they give him the same treatment as any other prisoner. The governor goes to the prison, he can wear whatever he likes. He can keep whatever he has in his pockets, he can make phone calls, You can, you know, say, oh, I'll go over here. Now I'll go and have a look over here. I have something to eat now. He can talk to whoever he wants. He's at liberty to do as he pleases. He can. He keeps his full independence and his assets. And he can leave when he wants and go and enjoy his home, his relatives, his family. And while he's there, everything in his life is going on nicely, because he has the full liberty to organize his life for his enjoyment. So there's a big distinction, a big difference. So that is the same distinction that is there between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are conditioned by the laws of material energy, but the Supreme Lord, he is not a conditioned soul. He only comes into the material world for our benefit. If we understand that, we become, as Srila Prabhupada says, you can step forward for your liberation. As soon as we understand that, we become liberated. That is, but it is very rare. It is very rare. Generally, you know, you can speak to millions and millions of people on this planet in the human form of life. Of course, those who are not in the human form of life don't have no hope of understanding that. But even out of so many billions, well, about 4 billion or something, living entities, even those who are elevated in philosophy or religion, even those who have studied the Vedas, still it is very rare for someone to understand that distinction and to have full faith in that distinction, that there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears in this material world with his full spiritual assets, and he is unlimited in his omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. And we are tiny conditioned souls, and Maya is oppressing us, and she has her foot, and she has it firmly on our head, and she is causing us all sorts of misery, because we have embraced it. We see, you know, Maya, the picture of Maya, I noticed I was reading some Indian newspapers, and they're opening some Durga Mandir somewhere, obviously there's a lot of people who are very attracted to worship Maya for the facilities that she offers. They prefer to worship be attracted by the material energy. But the very form of Maya, she's sitting on a tiger and she's holding a trident. And that is symbolic that she will inflict unlimited pain and misery upon the living entities who approach her. It's like, sometimes people may see a tiger or a bear in the zoo and they think, oh, they just look so tame, you know, I'll hop in a cage with this tiger or bear. And then, you know, the bear or the tiger, they've been waiting for 15 years for someone foolish enough to do such a thing, and they immediately take the opportunity, you know, just with a little flick of their paw, you know, a bear would just slap you and take your whole head off like that. And the tiger would just, you know, grab you by the throat and, you know, got you in there. And just blood spurting in and just chew you to pieces. It happens a lot. You'd be surprised. People playing, you know, with something that is very, very dangerous. And as Srila Prabhupada used to say, if you play with Maya, she'll kill you. There's one time there was a devotee who he had an affair with another devotee's wife, and you know, that person found out, he came in and he shot them both. And Prabhupada heard and said, "You play with Maya, Maya will kill you." That is the lesson. So, you know, this philosophy is very easy to understand. It's not very complicated. It's not very difficult. Still, only those really who chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and associate with the devotees, really, apart from them and a few others who may, you know, chant various holy names of the Lord and follow to some degree some bona fide process. But apart from that, people cannot understand. And yet, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one can become awakened. It is like, you know, if a person is very intoxicated, sometimes people take, you know, various drugs and intoxications. In that state, they just cannot perceive reality. You know, everything is distorted, everything is exaggerated, or misunderstood, or not properly seen, because, you know, the mind is in some disturbed situation, and even though the person is looking and trying to use their facilities, there is no possibility that they can actually have a proper understanding of their situation. And they don't have proper control over their mind and their senses, and they're in a very dangerous situation. It is only after a long time, when the intoxication wears off, and they think, "Oh my God, what have I done?" As one of the you know, on the bottle of alcohol, they should have a warning. You know, warning, imminent embarrassing situations, imminent, you know, danger of extreme embarrassment if you take this, if you take this substance, danger of extreme stupidity. They should have big warnings, you know, on the bottle. There's people after you know, become intoxicated. There's one, I won't tell this story, different people, there's been some people on the news lately, very high profile people, and you know, been out for a bit of a drink with some friends, waking up, you know, naked in the park with, you know, all sorts of embarrassing sort of paraphernalia around them and what have you, you know, just terrible. That's the nature of material energy. We don't, you know, it's like animals. Animals are in such ignorance. If we were to, you know, go out in the courtyard, pass stool, and roll around in it, what would people think of us? Huh? But that's what pigs do. You know, they're actually just a living entity. They're a spirit soul, like you and I. But they're so, but they have no concept of how degraded they have become. You know, if we were to do that, you imagine, you think, "My God, you know, what are you doing?" How degraded, how foolish, how embarrassing. So, according to the degree of covering of Maya, we don't see the embarrassing situation that we're in this material world. On the other hand, you know, on the contrary, we're actually extremely proud of our situation. And sometimes we, of course, as devotees, and in the assembly of devotees, you know, the slightest little bit of pride, or, you know, foolishness stands out like a sore thumb. It's like a black spot on a white sheet. You know, when you're in the association of the devotees, there's just a little something will show up quite strongly. In the association of non-devotees, it's like a black spot on a black sheet. you know, it's just one embarrassing situation merges into the other, so that they cannot see, and they're all extremely proud of their situation. And sometimes, you know, when such people, sometimes they may wander into the association of devotees. To the devotee, it can be quite obvious that there is something very foolish that this person may be particularly proud of. But they're not. Therefore, it's always a good idea, of course, for young devotees to not speak a lot for the first couple of years. Because, you know, they may not realize some of the foolish things that they're saying. I remember when we used to chant Hare Krishna in here and other temples. In the early days, not many people used to sit down. Everyone used to walk up and down. And there'd be a full room, so you'd be going up and down in lines. And there wasn't a lot of room. You know, you had your spot, you pretty much stuck into it. You couldn't move out of that spot because there was a lot of people going up. And being, you know, you come to Krishna consciousness and you bring in your conditioning and you think, you know, I want to be different, or, you know, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. I remember one morning, the whole temple was walking up and down this way. I started walking that way. You can imagine, you know, what the devotees thought. No one said anything to me. That's their kindness. But here I am, I'm walking in this way. That's disturbed everybody. You know? I think back now, I think, you know, what was I thinking? But, so, that's the nature of conditioning. That's, you know, the material energy is very degrading, influence. All of our spiritual assets are checked in at the door, and we just take on the qualities of the material energy. Complete ignorance, complete foolishness. So it's a very simple philosophy, but it is to, if someone understands this philosophy, then they are making huge, giant steps on the process of liberation, because they're no longer intoxicated by the material energy, but they have sobered up, and that they can actually see, you know, what the situation is in the material world. They can actually see that as it is. So devotees are, you know, they're very, very sober, grave, you know, responsible, beautiful, thoughtful persons. And yet, even though they are very scholarly, thoughtful, wise, still they dance around like madmen. Because they understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and he has also entered within this universe, but not as a conditioned soul, but as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to hold our hand and take us out of the grip of Maya, who we're holding on to, and pull us back towards the spiritual world. So the devotees are very, very jubilant, very, very happy, very excited, very ecstatic. You know, for the devotees, their life, they have something to dance about. Devotees have something to sing and shout about. Devotees, if a devotee is not in a state of ecstasy, it is only because they have forgotten that Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, has personally come and is here in his in the form of his Sankirtan Buddha, here in the form of the deities, Gaurantai, Radha Balava, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Krishna has come with his associates, Srila Prabhupada, and his wonderful disciples. He has appeared in the form of his pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. He has appeared in the form of his holy Dharma, Mayapur, Vrindavan, Navadvipa. He has appeared in the form, he has given the most easiest process to guarantee that anyone, no matter how foolish, no matter how conditioned, can get back to Godhead, just chant. Just say the word Krishna. So devotees are ecstatic. And chant Hare Krishna, eat Krishna prasadam, offer your respects to the deities, associate with the devotees, go back to Godhead. So the devotees are ecstatic. They have been, instead of a life of struggle, a life of torture, a life of loneliness and misery and fear and anxiety, they've been given a life where you don't have to think too much about the maintenance, everything is guaranteed. You don't have to perform extreme austerities, take a shower, chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, and go back to Godhead. And the Supreme Lord Himself, our dear most friend, has personally come to make sure that we take up that opportunity. Because previously Krishna appeared and he said, just surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Don't fear. Because people, as an astrologer, of course, a lot of people come to me and they ask me, about what was my past, what was my future, is everything going to be alright? And of course, what I'd like to say is no, everything's not going to be alright. You're in the material world, there's birth, there's death, there's old age, disease, there's so much problems. But I have to paint a pretty picture in that. Actually, I did it. Joel used to have a, I actually made it a private one. Yeah. Gave it directly to the source, but generally I'm a little bit kinder to people. I try and sort of make things, there's going to be some enjoyment, there's going to be some problem, yes, things will be wonderful. But really, in 2 minutes without being an astrologer, you could just say, what is my future, your future? Birth, death, all that. We all have the same future. So they want to know the future, they want to know the past, and they want to know if there's a chance, that they can somehow be happy. But actually, I read a letter the other day where Srila Prabhupada was saying, that We as devotees, we don't really have to be concerned so much with, what is my past, what is my future, according to the laws of karma. Because, he says, all you have to do is take advantage of the opportunity now that Lord Chaitanya has appeared. Take advantage of that. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, it doesn't matter what the future may have held. Lord Chaitanya has appeared now, that's all you need to know. If you take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. You're guaranteed to be ecstatic in this life and the next. So, therefore, devotees are always very jubilant, very happy, because although they are in the material world, the Supreme Lord, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful, the most magnanimous, the most wonderful, the most glorified form of the Lord, has appeared to personally hold us by the hand and take us back home back to God. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
Would you like to tell us something about the last line? Glorious in your possessions of eight mystic perfections, you enjoy unlimited opulences.
Yes, these are the Lord's spiritual assets that, as it's described, he has all spiritual potency unlimitedly. He can do anything he likes, such as he can become smaller than the smallest, just like the super soul. He can even enter within the heart of the living entity. He can become bigger than the biggest. He appears as the universal form. As we know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother was known as Rupada. He was an incarnation of Lord Balaram. And he is called Vishvambhura because the universal form is actually an expansion from Mahasankarsana, who is an expansion of Balaram. So in other words, the universe itself is nothing but the Lord. Although it is one of his energies, and therefore it is actually the Lord himself. And therefore, if we see everything connected with the Lord, then immediately it regains its spiritual qualities. You know, as Srila Prabhupada points out, that some people have a misconception that, you know, spiritual is something so subtle and mysterious that you can't really know it, and you can't conceive of it, and you can't think of it, and you can't describe it. It's just unapproachable. But it's not like that. Srila Prabhupada says spiritual means everything is connected with Krishna, and material means, and it is used for Krishna's service, then everything becomes spiritual, just like that. And very easy, simple. And material means we see something is not connected with Krishna, that's illusion, that's Maya, and therefore it becomes material. So, Krishna, by his unlimited spiritual potencies and material potencies and the living entity, literally he is manifesting everything within the material and spiritual universes. And when he enters the material world, he does not reduce in any way. In fact, he becomes more glorious. He becomes more glorious by exhibiting his unlimited mercy.
Like raising over the hill.
Yes. Any other questions? So, what was the problem?